From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this quick look at local and statewide news. High winds brought down trees in Thane, causing an overnight power outage last night. High avalanche danger prevented Alaska Electric Light and Power from going to the site of the outage right after it happened Sunday evening around 10 p.m. There did end up being an avalanche later that night, and two vehicles were caught in the debris. AEL&P Vice President Debbie Driscoll says no one was injured and that the vehicles were safely abandoned. This morning, the state's Department of Transportation cleared a path through the debris. Driscoll says,
our crew was ready. And as soon as DOT had cleared a path for our crew safely made it through and came upon the site. And there's a tree that had taken down three spans of line.
Most Thane residents got power back around 11 a.m. Another outage at the end of Thane Road was fixed about 2 hours later. Driscoll says that updates for outages are posted on the utility's social media and its website, aelmp.com.
The reason why we emphasize that is if we've already reported the outage, it's helpful if folks don't inundate the after-hours outage number, just because it has a capacity. And so if folks are calling because they have outage information, we want to make sure that they can actually get through.
The National Weather Service has a high wind warning for Juneau tonight until 9 p.m., which could cause other outages. If you need to report one, you can call AEL&P's After Hours and Emergency Line at 907-586-2357. Governor Mike Dunleavy declared a disaster emergency today for some areas in Alaska affected by severe winter storms. Dunleavy's declaration covers the Copper River and Delta Greeley areas, as well as the Fairbanks North Star, Denali, Matanuska, Susitna boroughs. Extreme winds and cold temperatures have affected the areas. At one point over the weekend, 20,000 households in the Mat-Su lost power. Dunleavy says now is the time to check in with neighbors and stay off the roads if possible. The declaration activates a program that provides assistance to individuals or families to meet disaster-related necessary expenses and serious needs. The Mat-Su Borough and American Red Cross established shelters at the Menard Sports Center in Wasilla and the Mat-Su Senior Services Center in Palmer. A contingent of National Guard soldiers and airmen are activated in Fairbanks to assist the borough with any transportation needs. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is once again asking Americans to avoid cruise ship travel. With the emergence of the Omicron variant, federal health officials say that even fully vaccinated passengers can catch and spread COVID-19. On Thursday, the CDC raised the risk level for cruise ship travel to level 4, its highest level, which means even vaccinated travelers should avoid cruise ships. At the previous level, the CDC was only warning unvaccinated people against cruise ship travel. There are almost 100 ships with COVID-19 on board that the CDC is currently investigating. All cruise ships are sailing in U.S. waters under a so-called conditional sailing order, which means the cruise ship companies have to comply with certain safety regulations and have agreements with U.S. ports where they dock. That order has been extended until January 15th. There is a full slate of cruise ships scheduled to visit Alaska in 2022. The first large ship will arrive in Juneau at the end of April. A newborn baby was found in a cardboard box Friday afternoon near Chena Marina on the west side of Fairbanks. Alaska State Troopers say the baby was taken to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital by Emergency Medical Services. Trooper spokesperson Tim Despain says the agency is looking for more information about how the baby got there.
We're not releasing further details for child confidentiality reasons, and the child's in good health. We're continuing to seek assistance from the media and the public to determine the identity and the circumstances of it.
According to the National Weather Service, the temperature at the time was around 1 degree Fahrenheit. Despain says the child was apparently found very quickly after having been left. At the hospital, the baby was examined and was reported in good health. Despain could not confirm if the baby was full term, nor could he confirm if the child had left the hospital and been put in foster care. A Fairbanks resident posted on social media that she found the baby near a row of mailboxes by her house and contacted emergency services. Roxy Lane posted a video on her Facebook profile showing a baby wrapped in a thick blanket. She also shows a note that says his name is Tashawn. The note indicated that the baby had been born that morning. Lane said Saturday that she cycled through a lot of emotions, shock, anger, and sadness. She says she's comforting herself by making wishes for Tashawn's future. Lane wrote in her post that she was profoundly affected by the experience. She wrote that the parents might not be aware of Alaska's Safe Surrender of Infants law. The state's Safe Surrender of Infants Act allows parents to anonymously bring babies to a fire station, police station, medical facility, or to any other person they reasonably believe could take care of it so that the baby itself is never in danger. The state of Alaska is preparing to file lawsuits against the federal government over hundreds of contaminated sites that the feds conveyed to Alaska Native corporations. Alaska Commissioner of Environmental Conservation Jason Bruni says the corporations didn't know about the pollution when they selected the lands as part of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act over 50 years ago.
The village corporations, the regional corporations were promised lands as a direct offshoot of the 1971 ANCSA law, and they didn't expect to get damaged goods.
Much of the contamination is on former military installations and dates back to the Cold War or World War II. Sites include a chemical dump in Adak, as well as an old tank farms all over Alaska and abandoned buildings that contain lead and asbestos. There are 548 sites, and the state filed 548 notices of intent to sue in mid-December.
We want the sites cleaned up. That is our ultimate goal here.
Bruni says he pursued the matter with the Trump administration also, but didn't get results. Organizations representing Alaska's Native village and regional corporations have endorsed the state's proposed action. A spokesperson for the Bureau of Land Management says the BLM can't comment on pending litigation. The final research cruise of 2021 in the Bering and Chukchi Seas came through the region in November. Scientists on board studied a variety of marine mammals, saw sea ice growth in real time, and found evidence of a healthy ecosystem despite warmer water temperatures from the summer. Seth Danielson, a professor with the University of Alaska Fairbanks' College of Fisheries and Ocean Science, led as the chief scientist. He says the first time measurements were recorded from the Bering Strait in November was in 1960.
After 1960, there weren't any other cruises that I'm aware of in the month of November until 2011. And that was a cruise that Karen Astian led. And then since Karen's cruise in 2011, there have been a couple more that have gone north in November. A couple of them did manage to sample some stations on the shelf the way we did. They did that in pretty warm years.
This cruise, however, saw a much colder November in much of the Bering Strait and better sea ice conditions than in recent years. Danielson presented his initial findings during a Strait Science presentation hosted by UAF's Northwest Campus at the beginning of this month. He was joined on board the Sekuliak by many other researchers, including Catherine Burchak of the Alaska Fisheries Science Center Marine Mammal Lab.
I was surprised by how few bowheads I saw and how many gray whales and humpbacks there were out there.
Burchak was observing marine mammals from the bridge of the ship on a regular basis throughout the 9-day voyage. According to Danielson, they witnessed roughly a 20% or more increase in the sea ice extent in the Chukchi Sea during their trip.
Why we ever got a situation like this where it's near freezing near the surface and warm near the bottom, that's really interesting. And the only thing I can think of is that it was the advection, the currents carrying ice over this region. And so the ice did not form in place, but it must have been carried in.
Other scientists on board the Sekuliak were taking measurements to study water temperature, salinity, and oxygen levels. Jackie Grebmeyer is a researcher with the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Scientists. She says southwest of St. Lawrence Island, there was a healthy amount of productivity happening in the Bering Sea ecosystem.
So there's still chlorophyll. This is viable chlorophyll on the bottom that can provide both food for consumption as well as for microbial and carbon cycling. So it's still going on even in the November, although the values are about 50% less than what we have during the real productive times in July.
Grebmeyer, Danielson, and other scientists from the Sekuliak are still compiling their findings. The research team will publish more formal findings in the next couple of years. And people in Juneau must mask up in indoor public spaces again. Masks must also be worn in outdoor public spaces when it's crowded. That change comes after Juneau emergency officials raised the city's COVID-19 risk level to modified high today amid an ongoing wave of new cases. State health officials reported 190 Juneau residents and visitors tested positive for the virus from December 29th to January 2nd. Those case rates continue the trend city officials reported last week, and they don't include cases detected through home test kits. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr says city officials made the decision to raise the risk level after seeing those numbers. He says the main concern for now is the effect isolating and quarantining is having on staffing. He says emergency officials are hoping to curb transmission enough so that businesses, government services, and the hospital can keep running during this wave. Two people are currently at Bartlett Regional Hospital with active cases of COVID-19. Schools remain closed this week to students for winter break. Juneau officials last changed the city's COVID-19 risk level on December 13th. At that time, they nudged the city's risk level down to moderate, which suspended most indoor mask requirements for people who were fully vaccinated. Statewide, health officials reported another 2,872 new COVID-19 cases from December 29th to January 2nd. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. You can find more local and statewide news at ktoo.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.